Jaron, Sitlali, Vasanti, Rev, and Dewey warp into the Uhanahi Research Laboratory, or URL. The entire complex is in roiling chaos as empty monsters and emissaries alike rampage, and the employees have been left to fend for themselves, locked in their laboratories. They save a couple of familiar researchers who explain that Lilith has locked herself away in her private lab. Dewey sees his ex-wife Uilani, who tells him that his daughter Hannah is working for Lilith. The party heads toward Lilith's lab and instead counters the Myriad, who's afflicted with Mother's Blood. Sitlali and Jaron spot Adam in the same chamber and both go after him while Dewey, Vasanti, and Rev stare down the Myriad. In the ensuing encounter, Jaron takes Adam's power, known as Mother's Blessing, but it immediately begins to corrode their soul, killing them from the inside. They learn from Adam that Lilith has been consecrating souls to the empty in order to feed the seed of annihilation. As it turns out, the seed needs to consume the souls of the Paragons and their god shards to bloom. In other words, the Paragon prophecy is a lie, seeded into reality by Lilith. Sitlali gives Adam his final rites and then kills him. Dewey helps the Myriad fight off Mother's Blood by bonding over their shared hatred of the URL. Rev and Vasanti finally come to peace with each other as they both recognize that vengeance will not heal them. With the bloody Myriad in tow and the party splintered apart by Jaron's claiming of Mother's Blessing, they enter Lilith's private lab. In the encounter with Lilith, they learn that she's a magical empath with no off switch, which has hardened her heart and made her seek out the precept Oblivion, also known as the Stranger. Lilith reveals she was able to contact Oblivion and agreed to help them restart reality if she could architect the new one, her garden. After this discovery, Lilith uses her power to tear apart the distraught party. Jaron rejects God and Nectus, Vasanti reverts to V, Rev's conviction is questioned, and Dewey tries to connect with his daughter Hannah, but can't get the right apology out. The party is dropped into their own personal garden, known as Eden. Vasanti finds herself completely alone in a world with nobody else in it, a world where nobody can hurt her. Jaron finds himself as a martyr, sustaining the life and joy of others at immense cost and suffering of themselves. In Sitlali's garden, they are a precept. She is everything, everything is them, and they make all the rules of existence. Dewey finds himself amongst the perfect family, robots of Hannah and Uilani that will never leave him and always love him. Hannah descends into Eden and finds her father. The two of them have a heart-to-heart and finally begin to find common ground. As the party regroups, Hannah explains that the only way to stop the Stranger is to call on the two other precepts, Fate and Magic. Together, the party crafts a message with their best memories of Andake to get the attention of the precepts and craft a plan to distract Lilith while Hannah sends out the message, with Dusty acting as a courier and going with it. Finally working together, the party leaves Eden and reappears in Lilith's lab. The ensuing struggle is vicious. Jaron barely holds on to life and in his struggle against Lilith, loses all of his max HP and then some. Vasanti swoops in to distract and get some of the heat off Jaron as Dewey climbs the dais and, mustering all of his strength, power, and rage, punches Lilith after she reveals that his bomb watch was fake this entire time. Lilith rounds on Dewey, calling both the Chrysalis and Mother to kill him. Sitlali kisses Lilith, using the last of their remaining preceptual magic to try to help her. At the same moment, Dewey makes a realization. He designed part of Lilith's throne, but at the same moment, Hannah cries out for his help. Dewey makes a choice and rushes over to his daughter. He's able to help Hannah send the message with Dusty inside, right as Lilith appears behind him and stabs him fatally. Except, the blow doesn't land. The Myriad takes the killing blow for Dewey, and in one last wash of magic, teleports the entire URL party back to Dr. Luso's homestead. But it's still too late. Meanwhile, Abiku, Gentle, Voska, and Oka delve into the Euclid Chasm with Dr. Aluso and Costas. After stopping at Dr. Aluso's machine for directions, Costas approaches an overwhelmed Voska asking to be made into Nitbusa's keeper. Confused, Voska feels Nitbuza rise in her soul and feels herself tethered not to Costas, but to Gentle. As they descend, the party comes across a viridescent jungle beneath a strange layer of mist and clouds. They nearly fall into it as their connection to the Andakan gods and the weave grows sparse. The jungle itself is a marvel and a mystery, seeming to be older than the chasm itself and full of life never before seen on Andake. Dr. Eluso is distant and dissociated, and after some prodding, admits that he suffers from some form of amnesia. They've always felt a pull to go deeper into the chasm, but have never allowed themselves to go past the mist until now. At the crux of this discovery, the party begins to lose touch with the weave. Dr. Eluso's magic remains, and though they look like they're about to reach out and help, the good doctor turns and begins to walk away. With the weave fading, Bud reverts into an animal form and attacks Oka, while Abiku grabs Oka and begins to run, with Gentle following suit. Transformed into a fox, Oka snaps at Gentle and accidentally sends them into their own subconscious in the remnants of the carnival's mirror maze. Gentle fights their mirror self, who bears all the scars and pain of them choosing others first. Gentle soon realizes that this fight is unsustainable and that they can't just put other people's needs before their own. Nitbuza calls out to Gentle and leads them back to the rest of the group, where Gentle is able to restore everyone's magic by channeling their connection with Nitbuza. The party then gives chase to Dr. Eluso, pulled along by Nitbuza's guiding thread. The chasm party passes through the strange jungle, descends through a perfectly circular lake filled with the most fucked up fish you could imagine, and then find themselves in a realm of fire and lava. They pass through a huge cavern in the ground full of tunnels and a gargantuan bacteria-like organism. After descending hundreds of thousands of feet, they come across a void chamber full of singing deities, which seem to operate with a different system of magic entirely. Finally, the party plunges into total darkness. At long last, they reach the empty, void bottom of the chasm where they find Dr. Eluso and Shrin Yi, Abiku's wife, at the bottom of the world. Shrin Yi is trapped in a barrier that's corrupting her soul. After rescuing her and destroying the barrier, the party finds Dr. Eluso's front door embedded in the ground. The doctor doesn't know why it's at the bottom of the chasm and is terrified. Nevertheless, the group goes through the door and find themselves in Tongal, which was once Andake's sister realm that had been devoured by the Stranger during the First Stranger War. And when the Stranger devoured it, it annihilated all of Tongal, including the reality that it had ever existed in the first place. In this blasted remnant of Tongal, the party sees the seed of annihilation in the distance, a perfect sphere of void getting bigger and bigger. They try to approach it, only to realize that it's a magical black hole devouring everything in its path. The party realizes too late that the seed is not the Stranger, but something else entirely, something even the first Paragons had no idea about. Dr. Eluso nearly gets taken into the seed, but Gentle saves him, and in the mess, her glasses break. And as soon as Dr. Eluso's glasses break, the Stranger is released from within her body. The Stranger / Oblivion planted the seed of annihilation nearly 5,000 years ago at the bottom of the chasm in Tongal. Oblivion had created an avatar to hide within, and Dr. Hitsagaten Eluso was created to then be this vessel. Despite all of Oblivion's intentions, however, Dr. Eluso continued to develop their own personality, their own morals, their own desires, and even their own soul. Dr. Eluso had even gotten quite close to discovering their true purpose multiple times, but the Stranger had never allowed it, resetting her memory every time. Oblivion introduces herself formally to the Chasm Party, referring to itself as a precept and telling the party that they have some time to kill before Lilith's ritual is complete and the Seed of Annihilation is ready. Oblivion suggests a game of hide and seek. During the game, another voice beckons the party, and the party finds themselves on the dark side of the moon standing before Yue Yin, one of the devoured gods of Tongal. Yue Yin tells the story of Tongol's demise and shares the memory of the eight gods of Tongol with the Chasm Party, revealing them to have been siblings, children, lovers, and friends of the eight Endakin gods. Yue Yin tries to help the party by sharing what little she knows of the Seed of Annihilation and Oblivion, but before she can finish her thought, the stranger finds the party. Turns out there's no prize for winning or losing hide and seek. Oblivion was just bored and wanted to see what they would do. And now, they prepare to annihilate the party for good. Abiku tries to stall by telling stories of the Thousand Year War, and Voska creates a lifelike mirage so they can get back to the door leading to the chasm that Nibusa had shown gentle. Abiku promises Oka that they'll come back to save Dr. Aluso, but they need to live through this moment first. The stranger suddenly appears beside them, asking them what they're whispering about. Oka kisses Oblivion, and all hell breaks loose. Everyone rushes toward the door, and the stranger reaches into Oka's chest to kill them and Sen, but they can't. A single tear runs down Oblivion's cheek as Dr. Aluso within them doesn't allow them to kill the Paragons or the Keepers. Oblivion, frustrated by all of this, decides to attempt to get rid of Hitsagaten for good and warps away, bringing the Seed of Annihilation down upon the party. At the last moment, Nibusa tugs at Gentle. Gentle's always been a beacon of hope, and now they can carry the memory and song of Tongol. Gentle becomes keeper of Nibusa and reaches out to Voska, Oka, Abiku, and Costas with the power of their love, and is able to bring them all up through the chasm and back to Dr. Aluso's homestead. The party escapes the chasm, but of course, it's too late. Finally, in the Arc 7 interlude, Dr. Aluso confronts Oblivion within a void, uncovering the true motivations of the Timeless Precept. Sagu discovers that Oblivion has been devouring infinite worlds despite not wanting to. In fact, the Precept had even spared a desert rain frog from a doomed realm, a frog that became Squeak. Dr. Aluso tries extending an olive branch to Oblivion, but the Precept declares it's impossible to avert either of their dooms and moves in to destroy the Doctor for good. However, the Song of Tongol rises in the background, rescuing Sagu from annihilation and leaving Oblivion by themselves within their own mind. Alone once more, as they have been for an infinity, Oblivion addresses the audience, that's you, directly. Good night, world.